Thank you, Sharon, for a very beautiful time of resting in God's presence. Sometimes, you know, when you are in a place of just resting in before the Lord and his you feel his love and his tenderness, and sometimes you just don't have words to say, don't have words to express that. It's just good to receive. So often we want to give, but it's good to receive and to feel our, I feel like that energy flowing back into us. Because we all get tired, we all get weary sometimes, and a little dollop of God's love goes a long way. Well, today we start a new series on the book of Proverbs. And I want just to sum up my message today in a nutshell, in one little phrase, so hopefully you won't switch off after this summary. But on life's highway, we may find ourselves at a place where roads diverge and we don't know which path to take. She's been waiting all week to give me that heckle. Now, if Jim Memory was here today, he would be laughing at me getting heckled by my wife, but there you go. But you know, the idea of choosing between two paths is something I think we all can relate to. And it's brought out beautifully in a poem by Robert Frost, The Road Not Taken. Frost speaks of a fork in the road, a choice that has to be made. You can't stand there all day saying, should I go there? Or shall I go there? You have to choose one. And one option is to go with the popular vote. Go for the path that's more traveled on, the common path, the path that everyone uses. Confident that this path will take you through the woods to the other side. All possible obstacles long since confronted by other people and overcome. And doubtless a path with pleasant enough views. Or you could risk the path less traveled by. It may mean that there are some sections that are perhaps a bit muddier. Maybe some brambles encroaching across your way. The threat of having to possibly turn around and retrace your steps. And yet nevertheless, a path that surely goes somewhere, the invitation of a rather different experience. Now you choose which path you want to take. It's entirely up to you. But I suspect that in life, all too often, we come across such choices, but we hardly notice that they are even there. I fear that sometimes we are in such a hurry to get where we think we need to be that we end up going with the flow. It's like driving a car, speeding along a dual carriageway, and there is your turning. You want to turn off there, but you notice it only as you are passing the turning. And so we tell ourselves, don't worry. There's bound to be another exit later on. Let's just keep on going. And Jesus warns his disciples of the danger of always going with the flow. Can I have the next one? Little cartoon here by Mike Waters. For those of you who are listening on the tape or on the podcast, guy in his car. Saying that destruction is ahead, repent is to the right, and he says, I think I'll take the exit. The cartoon is linked to a verse from Jesus in Matthew 7:13, and Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Here's the slide of another illustration of the words of Jesus. the wide roads, high speed limits, the fancy ornate arch leading on the road to destruction, and there to one side a narrow gate, easy to miss, which leads not to some glorious place, some glorious promise, but leads to the cross and leads to the rainbow and leaves behind the flames of hell and all of that. You see, the majority opinion may be all very well in a democratic context. We could be discussing recently about whether the Brexit or the Remain or the Leave vote, and what will the majority decide? We can hold our referenda. We can have our general elections. We can say, well, more people want the Tories than Labour, so the Tories can get a chance. And the majority opinion may well all be very fine when it comes to democracy, but within the theocratic context of the kingdom of God, the majority has got it wrong. And we need to remember that. We need to slow down and remember that even though most traffic is on the big narrow road, it's the road to destruction. It's the wrong road. We need to slow down and ensure we take God's road. And this concept of there being two ways is not limited to repentance and salvation. I've spoken previously from this pulpit about my fondness for a very early Christian book. It's called the Didache, or the Teaching of the 12 Apostles. It's not part of the New Testament canon. It was written around about 90 AD, and it's an instructional manual, and it opens by referring to the two ways. And here are the first three verses. Let me read these to you. I'll get you to read later on, so don't worry about that. And it starts by saying, there are two ways, one of life and one of death. And there is a great difference between the two ways. The way of life is this. First, you shall love God who made you. And second, love your neighbor as yourself. And do not do to another what you would not want done to you. The meaning of these sayings is this. Bless those who curse you, and pray for your enemies, and fast for those who persecute you. For what reward is there for loving those who love you? Do not heathens do the same? But you should love those who hate you, and then you shall have no enemies. Now, you may notice some of the wording is subtly different from the New Testament, but the Didache opens, those early Christians post-New Testament, opened with an understanding that there are two ways. There's a way of life and there is a way of death. And we choose every day, we choose either the way of life that is in Christ, or if we don't choose that way, we choose the way of death. And this pairing of two contrasting choices is found most strikingly in the book of Proverbs. And as I said, that's what we are now beginning to look at over the next 6 weeks or so. And I'd like us to read the opening verses from Proverbs chapter 1. They're on the screen here. If you want to turn in your Bible, you're welcome to do that. And could I, this is verses 1 to 6, could I call upon someone please to read for us those first six verses? Thank you.
The proverb to Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise.
Thank you very much. Now, of course, we find proverbs in every culture. They are by no means restricted to the Bible. And I've pulled out here in my notes some popular pithy sayings that you probably will recognize. I'm going to say the first half of the proverb and see if you can complete it. Bonus marks if you give me a humorous ending as well. The squeaky wheel... Well, come on. The squeaky wheel...
Gets the
grease. There you go. It gets the oil. Thank you very much. The pen is mightier than this one. You see, you know these ones. The early bird. There you go. Never look a gift horse in the mouth. A washed pot. Too many cooks. I feel like saying too many cooks are on TV at present. Beauty is in... Absolutely. The grass is always greener. Yeah, it depends how you say it, the stream, the hill, the fence, absolutely. A chain is only as strong. Absolutely. Don't count your chickens. You guys are clever, aren't you? So each of those is a pithy little saying that encapsulates a piece of advice. And they're all good pieces of advice. They're not religious sayings, but, you know, too many cooks spoils the broth. We know what that means. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. Absolutely. You know, those are things that people throughout the ages have taken folk wisdom and put into little sayings. And people are always creating new proverbs. I thought I'd share some of these new ones with you. A turtle only makes progress when it sticks its head out. I quite like that one. Good one for teenagers. Don't look at them, please. Okay, do look at them. If you want to make your dreams come true, don't oversleep. There are no shortcuts to any place worth going to. Man has his will, but woman has her way. Thought you'd like that one. If you're too open-minded, your brains will fall out. Age is a very high price to pay for maturity. This is a very clever one, this one. A closed mouth gathers no feet. A closed mouth gathers no feet. Think about that one. Practice makes perfect, but nobody's perfect, so why practice? No husband has ever been shot while doing the dishes. And then the last one. Before you criticize someone, walk a mile in his shoes. That way, if he gets angry, he'll be a mile away and barefoot. So the question is, what's the difference between these maxims and the book of Proverbs? Well, the answer is really found in the very next verse in Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, "Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline." As Christians, we recognize that there is a higher authority than our human opinions. And that's an important thing to state right at the outset. There is a higher authority than what you or I happen to think, happen to agree on. God is greater. God is more powerful. God is more insightful than mortal man. And God perceives the distant ramifications of every decision. God comprehends every potential outcome from the most profound deliberation. Because God created us. Because God forged society. And God truly understands what is best for us. And the godly accept the humility that comes from all of this. The godly acknowledge that there is such a thing as absolute truth. They recognize that God has the authority to decide morality, to declare that this is right and this is wrong. To fear the Lord, as Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, is to accept your place in the created order. It speaks of humility. It's not to be fearful of punishment, but rather it is to reverence a loving God who wishes only the best for his sons and his daughters. It is to choose to do what is right in God's eyes. And it is the ungodly who tries to place himself outside of God's claims. It is the ungodly who says that two opposing beliefs can both be valid. It is the ungodly who asserts that he is free to do whatever he pleases, so long as it doesn't hurt anyone else. It is the ungodly who sees no harm in living for his pleasures. And in his own eyes, he regards himself as wise. He sees himself as intellectually superior. And yet the Bible calls him a fool. And over the coming weeks, we will be looking in some detail at the various aspects of what Proverbs says. We're going to look at how we live as godly people within our wider communities. We're going to look at our relationship with God. We're going to look at relationships within marriage. We're going to look at our relationships with our friends and our families. And boy, do we need wisdom there sometimes. We're going to look at our attitude to money. How do we use these things God gives us? How do we use them wisely? We're going to look at the words we speak to one another. Proverbs has so much to say about the words that come out of our lips. We're going to look finally at godly character and at godly behavior. But let me invite you to read another quick aspect from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 to 15. Again, could I invite someone please to read for us those lovely words from Solomon.
Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along the straight path. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked, or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way.
There are two ways. There's a way that is right, and there's a way that is wrong. And every time we have to make choices, we have to consider that. Which way do we go? We need to choose the right one. Hey. Finish this morning in a couple of minutes' time. Musicians, please come back. I spoke earlier of being in such a hurry that you're running down the dual carriageway and there's your turning on the left-hand side and you zoom right past it and there's no U-turns allowed, and you've gone, and you don't know where you are, and you hope somehow you'll sort yourselves out. Let me urge you this morning, slow down. Take time over these coming weeks to think. To think about how you and I, we live our lives. Think about the decisions we make. Think about the reasons behind those decisions. It's very easy to consume sermons. Very easy to say, oh, I liked him more than that, and that inspired me, and everything else. But Proverbs is all about reflection, about wisdom, about thinking. So take your time. Why do you do the things you do? What guides you? Are your decisions underpinned by biblical principles? Or have you simply bought into the worldview of the majority of your fellow travelers? Everyone else does it this way, so I just do what they do. It seems right because they're the majority. But Jesus said, wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So slow down and think. Listen carefully to these talks. Feel entirely at liberty to chat with the speakers afterwards and, you know, ask them to expand on what they've said, or ask your questions, or even disagree with them. You know, we're confident enough in ourselves to do that and to engage at a deeper level. Proverbs chapters 1 through to chapters 9 are a huge introduction to the rest of the book. You might like to consider reading chapters 1 to 9 before next week. But slow down. And if you find that at some point you have driven right past your exit, then don't keep on going. Pull into the side. Check your map, because there is always a way back. Thank you very much.